Job 37 and verse 1. At this also my heart trembleth and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice, and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth it unto the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth, he thundereth with the voice of his excellency. He will not stay there when his voice is heard. God thundereth marvellously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. For he saith to the snow, Be thou on the earth. Likewise to the small rain, and to the great rain of his strength. He sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. Then the beasts go into dens, and remain in their places. Out of the south cometh the whirlwind, and cold out of the north. By the breath of God frost is given, and the breath of the waters is straitened. Also by watering he weareth the thick cloud, he scattereth his bright cloud, and it is turned round about by his counsels. But they may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world and the earth. He causeth it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for his mercy. Amen. And we pray the Lord will bless his word as we really pray it to all of our hearts. I want to speak tonight on a theme that's really on the lips of many people this weather, and that of course is the rain. And I just hear the rain tonight. The rain has come at the right time when I'm going to preach upon the rain. Rain, rain, rain. It seems to be the subject of our every conversation. Everybody is talking about the rain that we have had even over the past few months. When you turn on the news, well, in the recent days, we were brought face to face with the destruction of floods and of the rain that has fell throughout the United Kingdom. When we open up the newspapers, photograph after photograph, news bulletin after news bulletin is brought before us about the great rains that has taken place all over the United Kingdom. When you go into the shops and you meet somebody, everybody has something to say, of course. Everybody has something to say about the rain. You see, the conversation about the rain, it is the wettest few months on record. April, May and June, according to the Environment Agency, has said, is the wettest 3 months on living record. And I think the way it's going, they're going to make it 4 months if it keeps going on tonight here in the month of July. Many towns and many homes have been hit by severe flooding because of the rain. Because of the rains that has been falling. And there's conversations about the rain. And of course there's the complaints about the rain. A lot of murmuring and complaining has been heard. I say it from the lips of nearly all about the rain. And I'm sure everyone in this meeting has complained. In your heart, if not by your lips, about the rain. You've opened up the curtains, you have a whole day planned what you're going to do, and you look out and it's teeming down, and it's raining, and it's raining, and it's raining, and it never seems to stop. It's coming down, and it's coming down. And even yesterday, and even tonight, as we preach here in this meeting, we can hear the rain that is coming down. People complain about the rain. I heard a man one time on television there from the water service in England. He said he was delighted to see all the rain. I think he maybe was one only man delighted to see all the rain. Of course, we know about there's going to be a drought in England, and they needed all the rain, of course, and they've got it. And yet people complain, and they complain about the rain. The rain was sick again. I'm sure you've heard it. And maybe you've said it. At this particular rainy season that we've had over the past few months, complaints about the rain. The control of the rain, we had to say it tonight, and we must remind ourselves that God is control of the rain. He alone is one who controls the weather. The first mention of rain in the Bible is found in Genesis 2 and verse 5. We're talking about the creation of God, and it says, For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And there we have the first mention of rain in the Bible in Genesis 2 and verse 5. And it talks about the rain. But it tells us this: God had not caused it to rain. Because God alone can give the rain. Nobody else can make rain. Nobody else can send rain down upon this earth. Rain comes from God. He's the cause of the rain. See it in verse 6. For he saith to the snow, be thy on the earth, likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of a star. God just speaks. God just says, and rain, it comes. The prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 14 and the verse 22, he says, are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Here's the prophet Jeremiah speaking for God and speaking for the truth. And he says, are there any? Are there any of the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Are there any false gods that can give us rain? Well, the answer is very simple. The answer is no. Only God can give the rain. And that's what you read when you come to the Word of God. In Genesis 7 verse 4, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. Leviticus 26 and verse 4, then I will give you rain in due season. And when we come to the subject of rain, we find it here that the very cause of rain, or the very cause of rain, is that it's God. God is the one that is in control of the rain. He gives the rain. And even tonight while we're preaching, there's rain coming down upon this building. It's coming. It's all under the control of God. Elihu here teaches not about the control of the rain, but the causes of the rain. Why does God give us the rain? Why is this rain? Why is this rainy season upon us? Why is it seemingly every day we get up, seemingly the last while, it's been raining, it's been raining, it's been raining? Well, Elihu here, speaking on to Job, he's going to tell him some of the reasons why God sends the rain. And we find that in the verse 13. He's telling us here why God sends the rain. He says he causes it to come whether for correction or for his land or for his mercy. He's saying here's why God sends the rain. Do you ever stop and think why it's raining? Do you ever stop and think why there's days of rain? Have you ever stopped to think over the past few months where it's been a very rainy time here in our province and even in the land of England? Never mind Scotland and the land of Wales. Have you ever stopped to think, why is it that it's raining? Why is it that it seems to be raining every day? Why is it? Why does God send the rain? Well, here's a verse I came across in Job. He causes it to come, whether for correction or for his land, or for his mercy. A lesson from the rain. Why God sends the rain. Well, the first reason we can see here, the rain comes because of the chastening hand of God. It reveals to us here that God can send the rain for correction. He causes it to come whether for correction. Elihu here is telling us, under the inspiration of the Word of God, why is it? Why God will send the rain? Why God will send rain after rain after rain down upon this world? He'll send it down to chasten us. For correction. He can use the rain as a rod against the world. Now, we need not to be surprised at this. Because the records over us, and the divine record in Genesis 6 verse 5, do you remember it tells us in Genesis 6 verse 5, near the beginning of time, and the Lord and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And in the verse 17, and God says, behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. And God looks down and he sees sin, he sees wickedness, he sees evil imaginations in the thoughts and the hearts of all men. And God says, I'm going to destroy the whole world in a flood. In other words, he says, I'm going to send the rain. It's going to correct the people. It's going to chastise the people. He's going to destroy the people. And how? How is God going to do this? You see, the Lord's rage is seen here in this correction. He's angry with their wickedness. And he's angry with their sin. And therefore, what does God do? He sends the rain. And here's Elihu here speaking. He says, he causeth it to come for correction. For correction. For the chastening of his people. For the chastening of the subjects of this earth. God can at times and does. He does send the rain. Now over in 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel 12 and verse 16. Remember the people had turned away from God. They said to Samuel, we want a king. We want to be like the other nations. We don't want God to rule over us. In their heart they were saying, we want to be like the other people. We want a king. We will choose Saul to be our king. And God was angry. Because God was rejected. And you find in 1 Samuel 12 and verse 16, Samuel says, now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before you, before your eyes. God is going to do a great thing. And he's going to do it, he says here, before your eyes. And what was God going to do? Well, you can read on down that verse. He talked about the thunder and the rain, and in verse 18, so Samuel called on to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. You see, God's chastening hand was upon this people. They had turned away from God. They had chosen Saul to be their king. And here it tells us, Samuel called unto the Lord to send the thunder and the rain. And God sent down this rain. And the people were terrified because of the rain. You see, God sent it. The chastening hand of God. God's rage here in the correction. The chastening of this people. You see, they had sinned against him. And over in Ezra chapter 10 and verse 9, unlawful marriages. The people were back, of course, in Jerusalem. But they had married unlawfully. They had turned away from God. They had turned away from his law. And the Bible tells us that all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves onto Jerusalem within 3 months. And all the people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling because of this matter and for the great rain. There was great rain, and the people were outside, and God poured down his rain after rain after rain upon the people to chastise them, to chastise this people. You see, the rage of God is seen in the chastening. God was angry. And sometimes God chastens, he corrects with a rod the rain for correction. Is that the reason that we're getting all this wet weather? Is that why when I could walk around Brighton, around the seafront, that there was very few people about, a few people about, the shops were empty, everything, nothing seemed, no life. Now, but it has picked up, I had to sell it. Has God been chastising our nation? Has God been chastising our land? We think of the wickedness, we think of the drunkenness that goes around our streets, round our towns and cities and villages and in homes. We think of the divorces that are taking place, turning away from their vows, turning away from God. We think of the disorder, the trouble, the rioting, the trouble, the fighting that's on our streets. We think of the darkness of the churches. We think of the false gospels that's being preached. We think of the deceit, we think of the defilement and the sin, and on and on and on. The land is full of wickedness and the land is full of sin. He sends it for correction. Is God speaking in his wrath? Is God speaking in his rage to our province? Because it's raining. And we're not listening. He sends the rain again and people's not listening. You see, it says here in our text, he causeth it to come, whether for correction. The chastening hand of God can be seen here. Is God angry with our nation? There's every reason to be angry with our nation. A nation that has turned away from God. Even think the town of Lewis, that once was hundreds and hundreds went to that church where I was preaching, and now there's 9 people. Once a town with the very blood of the martyrs was shed upon the street, burnt at the stake. Is God not angry? I suggest he is angry. And he chastens with the rod of the rain. Whether for correction. The rage of God is found. He's angry. And he sends the rain, you see. And in this chastening, his rebuke is also seen in it. Because we all know that if you are corrected, then you are being rebuked. It told us about the ways that we are living or the way that we are going. Now we can remember a time like this when we were in school or at our home. It wasn't a very pleasant thing to be rebuked, to be chastened with the voice. And sometimes it was with the rod. There was no child protection when I went to school. Sometimes we had to be chastened. And sometimes it was very grievous. and we deserved every bit of it. I had to say that. Every thought, by God, I deserved it. I just said that. And it's not very nice, of course. Correction, the Bible says, is grievous unto him. It's not very nice, you see. We can say tonight, Noel, it is not very nice. Not very nice, this rain, and this rain, and this rain, and this rain. It corrects us. It grieves us. It rebukes us, you see. As we look around us, the fields are soaking. Farmers cannot get out to do their work. Builders cannot get out to do their places, go to their places of employment. God rebukes us, you see. God rebukes us by his correction. He sends the rain. Everything comes to a standstill. And we've seen it many times in this province. The farmers bullying to get out into the fields to do their work. And they can't. They can't even, some places can't even get the cattle out at this particular period. Such is the state of the fields at this particular time. You see, there's the rebuke and this chastening hand of God. He takes the rain and in a sense he beats us with the rain to rebuke us. To rebuke us, you see. Are we listening to the voice of the rain? Are we listening? Are we listening to God's voice with the rain? Are we receiving the rebuke? Do we need to be rebuked? Child of God, do I need it? Do you need to be rebuked about the way that we're living? The coldness of our heart, the worldliness in our heart, the half-heartedness in the work of God. You see, he causes it to come for correction. Just to correct us. I'm writing like it. It's not easy getting the rod. Sure it's not. Wasn't getting up and getting a hammer and every morning with a stick. It wouldn't be very nice, though, but no, we're getting up every day. Do you know the rain? The rain is coming down. Are we listening? Are you listening? Am I listening? They can come. In his chastening also, we can see his restoration. See, if the Lord uses the rod of his rain, it is to correct us. It talks about for correction. And we think even the rod in Proverbs 22 and verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And this correction is to do us good, you see. It's to drive the evil away. It's to drive the sin away, you see. God wants us to do that which is right. And so there are times he sends a rain to speak to us. And there is a chastening hand of God here, and God sending the rain for correction, that we might be restored. That we might listen. That we might listen to the voice of God and correct what's wrong in our land, wrong in our life, wrong in our homes, wrong in our churches, whatever it is, that we may correct what's wrong. God can use it. And here it is in the Word of God. He causes that to come. Talks in the, of course, about the clouds in verse 11 and 12, about the rain coming and his command, and God causes it to rain and to come for correction. The chastening hand of God. Now there are times I have to say God can chasten us by withholding the rain, and you'll find that according to his own sovereign will in 1 Kings 17 verse 1 it says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the habitations of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And what was happening here, God's withholding the rain, and God was punishing the nation. And Elijah says to Ahab, there's going to be no rain. God is going to deal with this nation because of your wickedness and because of your sin. There's going to be no rain. But God can do whatever he likes. He can chastise us by withholding the rain, or he can chastise us by giving us it. By giving us the rain. He can do this. You see, the chastening hand of God. And sometimes everything is brought to a standstill that we might listen. The farmers had to stop their tractors. Others may have to stop their machinery. Other men may have to lay down their tools. They cannot get on. They cannot get on with their work. Why? We need to listen. We need to listen because God speaks in the chasing of the rain. There it is in the Bible. He calls of it to come rather for the chastening hand of God can be seen in the rain. Have we been chastened? Have our land been chastened? Has our nation been chastened? And by the rain, do we need it? Of course. That we might listen to the voice of God. Well, there's one reason why there's rain. There's rain, rain, rain. Well, one of the reasons may be for the chastening of God. Another reason that it rains may be for the cure of our God. But here it reveals that the rain comes from the Lord for his land. He says it caused it to come, whether for correction or for his land. In other words, for the good of the people and the land, he causes it to rain. Now, God himself said that in chapter 38, verse 26. And the Lord is speaking, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth. And God is saying here why he's sending down the rain, to bring forth fruit for the good of the land. And notice here, he sends down the rain in verse 13 for his land. You see, the world belongs to God. That's what it says in Psalm 24 verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and God causes rain to fall upon his land. The world belongs to God. You know something? Northern Ireland belongs to God. The United Kingdom belongs to God. He's got the whole world in his hand. And there are times God causes the rain to fall upon his land for the very cure of the land. The cure of God is seen in sending down rain and rain and rain upon this whole world. God cares for the land. He sends the rain. Can you think of that? We know, of course, he sends down to care for us for our provision. We need the rain. You say, I don't need so much of it. But we need the rain. We need the rain. In Leviticus 26 and verse 4, he says, then will I give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the earth shall yield their fruit. And God is saying to him, now, well, in this promise, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you rain in your due season. And the rain will fall down from heaven, and the rain will cause a great effect upon the earth. The land shall yield their increase, and the trees of the fields shall bring forth their fruit, shall yield their fruit. God says, I'll send down the rain, and all of these things will happen. One is going to be the vegetables, it's going to be all that's going to grow, the trees are going to blossom, they're going to bring forth the fruit. But how was this going to be done? By the rain. By the rain, you see. God says, I will send the rain. Moses said the same in Deuteronomy 11 and verse 14. The Lord said that I will give you the rain of your land in this due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And here God is promising to Moses, promising to the people, I'll send down the rain, I'll send down the reason in the due season, and you'll get your corn and your wine and thine oil. Every blessing, everything that you need will come. Result of the rain. You see, we need the rain. If the rain causes the seed to bud, to grow, to bring forth fruit. If there was no rain, there would be no food. There would be no life. It is essential that the ground receives rain from heaven. God says, I'll send the rain. For our blessing, for our comfort, for our benefits, for our different needs, God sends down the rain. Because we do know this. If there's no rain, there's a drought. There's a drought. In Deuteronomy 11, verse 17, probably the people sin, and then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. And why he tells him here that God will send the rain and it bring forth his fruit. He says God at times can shut the heavens and he'll give no rain and there'll be no fruit and you'll die and you'll perish quickly off the land. That's the message Moses speaks to people here about God sending down this rain, you see. And so the importance of the rain is found here. No rain, no fruit, nothing but death. You think of countries today, the African countries, and you've heard about drought after drought and after drought, and death, destruction, starvation. Why? Because there's no rain. There's no rain. God sends down his rain for a blessing, for his care here of the people, for our care this time. Think of the destruction, think of the droughts around the world because of no rain, but you and I have rain, and we've got plenty of it. Maybe you said we've got more than enough of it. Whatever your view may be, to listen and you're glad you have the rain. Are you glad that you have the rain? You see, it's for our provision. It's tremendous. God blesses us with rain. Tremendous thing. And for our pleasures as well, because in Psalm 68 verse 9, Thy, O Lord, descend a plentiful rain, whereby Thou dost confirm Thine inheritance when it was weary. They were weary. What did God? How did God refresh the people? He sent a plentiful rain. He sent the rain. Think how refreshing the rain is to the ground, to the flowers, to our plants, to the grass and to the trees. Think of the blessings that the rain brings. Think of the waters that we receive from God from the rain. Imagine you get up in the morning and you have no water. You women would go mad if you couldn't put the washing machine on for one day. You'd go mad. Imagine getting up in the morning, no water in the sink, no water in the toilet, no water in the washing machine, no water to wash in any shape or form. Now, sometimes we've come to that. Sometimes something happens with the water supply and the water's off for a little period of time. I tell you, that's where it gets us going. His Bible says you never miss the water till the well runs dry. Isn't that right? We're blessed. How God blesses us. But think about it, that you had no water. You only had to go to the land of Kenya, and I was in Kenya one time. And we were in places where it hadn't rained for a long, long time. And we were meeting a lady in this little village, and she, a little child, stopped her back, and she's telling us that she has to walk with this large jug, or whatever they call it, upon her head, had to go for 5 kilometres to get the water. And then she had to carry it all home again. Why, you and I spoil the water, Amber. Isn't that right? You're brushing your teeth, there's more water goes down that sink. If some people now, maybe they'll turn it off after the night, some people turn it on and they scrub away and the water's going down the sink and they're scrubbing away. If you have any teeth at all, it's not right. Some people put in a glass, it's not too bad on the water. It's not right. But nevertheless, turn it off. Because people in this world have no water. You see, we're blessed with water. For the land, you see, we can see the cure of God sending us the rain. There was a wee man once, he was from Africa, wherever he came from. A wee black man came to Manchester years ago, and he was looking at Manchester because they were thinking of holding the Commonwealth Games. I think it was a Commonwealth Game, and I'm quoting this from memory. And he arrived, and of course the cameras was all there for this wee man, and he got off. He was going to look around Manchester. Well, the day he was in Manchester, it bucketed, as we would say. It rained, it rained, it rained, it rained, it rained. Well, he was looking around and the water poured down. So when he's getting on the plane or near the end, they questioned the wee man, and they asked him, what do you think of this weather, this rain? Well, I was waiting, the man said, we're not bringing any Commonwealth, they didn't bring the Commonwealth Games here, but that wasn't the reason, by the way. The wee man answered words to this now. We don't agree every word he said, but we get the picture of what he said. He turned to the camera person, he says, when I come to a country and when I see rain, I think they're a very lucky country. I was wrong what he said about lucky, but he saw the blessing of rain and he thought we're very fortunate to get rain, because he was from a country that didn't have it. He didn't have the rain, and yet he came to Manchester, United Kingdom, and it rained and it rained and it rained. Oh, you see, the cure of God can be seen in the rain. God cares for the land, God cares for his people, God cares for us. That's another reason God sends the rain. It's for our land. You may say, well, we could do a bit less. That is true. I'm not suggesting that I don't complain about the rain either. But you know, God sends it. Rain, 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 for this chastening, the chastening of God, for the care of God. And we can see lastly here about the compassion or the mercy of God, or for his land, or for mercy. Elihu here continues about the purpose of rain coming upon the earth, from the earth, for God's mercy. Now, the mercy of God is a wonderful thing. God's mercy can be seen in His Word. You only have to read the Bible. We only have to turn to the Scriptures, and we can see that our God is a great God, that our God is a merciful God. In Exodus 34 and verse 6, "And the Lord passed by before him," which is Moses, "and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth." And God is going past Moses, and he saw that God was merciful. You see the mercy of God in His Word. In Psalm 86 verse 5, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, that is in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." And this, every one of us here tonight has proven that God is a great God and a merciful God, because we came as sinners to Christ. We called upon the Lord, we said, "Lord, save us, forgive us," and He gave us mercy. And from the Word of God we see the mercy of God in His Word, and in Christ, of course, and how Christ loved us and died for us, and how salvation is found in Him, and how we can get everlasting life and brought to heaven. All of this, of course, is the mercy of God. We can see the mercy of God in His Word. But listen, you can see God's mercy in the weather. You can see God's mercy in the rain. Why? That's what it says. Here's the Bible explaining to you and I tonight why God sends the rain. He causeth it to come, whether for correction or for His land or for mercy. And God's mercy is found here. It is found in the Word, but it is found in His mercy. This word mercy is only mentioned once in the book of Job, and it's mentioned here in this verse 13. And notice it's linked to the weather. And even notice this, it's linked to the rain. Mentioned once, this word mercy in Job, linked to the rain. God, here it tells us, He sends the rain because of His mercy. And that teaches me a lesson. When we see the rain coming down, we can think of the compassion, we can think of the mercy, we can see the mercy of God and send down rain. Do we not deserve fire and brimstone to rain upon us? Think of Sodom and Gomorrah. In Genesis 19 verse 24, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven," you see. That's what God rained down upon those people who were wicked and who were sinful. He rained down upon them fire and brimstone. Do I not deserve the fire and brimstone to fall upon me? Do you not deserve it? We do. But God sends down the rain, the dew of heaven, upon us. You see, the mercy of God. It's a merciful thing to receive the rain. In Matthew 5, verse 45, the Lord Jesus says, "That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." There's the mercy. There's the mercy of God in the rain. He sendeth down the rain, not just on the just, but on the unjust. You see, the compassion of God is found in the rain, His mercy, His love. We can see it in the rain. We can see this. We would all die if there is no rain. Oh, how merciful. How merciful is our God that this wee province of God, we get so much rain. We have to say that. But how merciful is our God that we get it? Because if we didn't get it for 2 weeks, we'd have a bit of trouble in Northern Ireland. The farmers would be going mad. It'd be a blistering hot sun for 2 weeks here. They'd be complaining about the sun. And if they complain, there's no rain. So we need rain in this wee province. All right. We need somebody to turn the tap on and off to please everybody. And I wouldn't like a job of trying to do that, because you couldn't please everybody. Some wants rain, some doesn't want rain. Some wants clouds, and some doesn't want clouds. All right. But the mercy of God. That great hymn we sang tonight, "How Great Thou Art." There was a Swedish pastor, and one time he was enjoying a walk, and suddenly a thunderstorm suddenly appeared out of nowhere. Severe wind began to blow. And after the storm was over, he looked out on the clear bay. He heard a church bell in the distance, and the words of "How great thou art" began to form in his heart. But you know, in the storm and in the rain, he saw the mercy and greatness of God. He saw the Lord. and that he composed, or the story to compose that great hymn we sang tonight, How Great Thou Art. How great thou art. Even in the rain, even in the thunderstorms, God sends down the rain. And this man, what did he see in the rain? He saw the mercy. He saw the mercy of God. Now I hope that you'll think about the rain a bit different. And myself tonight. Why God sends the rain. And listen, he does. This is God's will. I must confess, I do try not to complain about the rain. It doesn't mean I always succeed, but I try not to. But I always say, when you complain about the weather, you're complaining about God. If you complain about the rain, you're complaining about the Lord. Because there we have it in the Bible. He's the one who gives us the rain. So let's just bear the rod meekly and humbly. Let us bear this rain thankfully that we're getting rain. Let us look and see the mercy and the love and the greatness of our God that gives us the rain even at this time. May God write his word on all of our hearts. Thank you.